How many of you, if you believe in the power of Jesus, let me hear you say amen, and you said, yeah, yeah. Why? Right? Why? Like, that's a great, you know, there are people in the world that would hear you answer that question and think that you're crazy, like there's something wrong with you. My question to all of you today is, if you said yes to that, right, the question is, why? Why do you believe that? Why do you believe in the power of Jesus? And what Paul's going to do today in our text in 1 Corinthians is going to give you an answer to that question. Because if you're a believer, it's important that you know the answer to that question. It's important that you know why you believe in the power of Jesus. If you're in Bunnell, DeLand, online here in Ormond, and you don't know Jesus, first of all, welcome. We're glad you're here. What a courageous thing to do to come to church, right? But if you don't know Jesus, man, this is the crux of the gospel, right? The crux of the gospel is, do you believe in the power of Jesus? And if your answer is yes, man, knowing that makes all the difference in the world. So we're going to read a few verses today. I'm going to ask you to stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When we're done, you can grab your Bibles and turn to verse 12. Paul says, if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, so is your faith. He says, more than that, we are then found to be liars, false witnesses about God. For we've testified, Paul says, about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. He says, for if the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, read it with me, Bunnell, DeLand, Ormond, online, read it with me. Your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. He says, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. You can be seated. Believing in the power of Jesus it's an amazing thing. Understanding why is the kind of knowledge that can set a person free. Listen to what Hebrews says. Listen to what Hebrews says in chapter 9, verse 27. Just as man is destined to what? Die once, and after that, face the judgment. Right? The reality is we know that death is undefeated in spite of all the scientific advancements that we have in the world today and we've had over the last hundreds of years. The reality is death still wins. Yes? Yes, it's the unfortunate reality of life, right? That we die. That's a problem. Job asked this question about death in Job 14. He said this. He says, a man dies, is he going to live again? I mean, that's a question that people have been trying to figure out, right? Not only how do we stop dying, but if a person's going to die, is there a possibility that they can live again? Because at the end of the day, it seems like there's very few things that we as a group of people can't overcome. We can overcome just about anything. We just haven't figured out this whole death thing, right? We can't seem to get around it. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, 17, you help me read it, right? Paul reiterates the one thing that I want us to talk about today, right? Because he talks about if Christ is not raised, all of these things. Let's focus on this one today. I'm going to do you a favor in Bunnell, DeLand, online, here in Ormond. I'm going to preach a one-point sermon. Amen, amen, right? Listen, I'll give you credit, at least here in Ormond, right? I'll give you credit. Saturday night, they laughed at me, right? So, you know, I'll take an amen over that any day, right? Listen to what he says. If Christ has not been raised, your faith, that faith you exhibited in getting up and coming to services wherever you're at this morning, that faith that you expressed in your song, in your worship today, right? That faith that you expressed in giving. He says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. Pointless. It's empty. It means nothing. It has no value. It creates no value. It sustains no value. It's pointless. And then he says this, you, Say me, are still in your sins. That's a pretty significant thing, right? So let's talk about that one thing today, right? Let's go all the way back to Genesis. We preached through the book of Genesis last year here at Tomoka, but all the way back in the garden when Adam and Eve were there and all was perfect and no pain and no loss and no mourning and no death, Satan shows up to tempt Eve. Eve then gives the fruit to her husband. God shows up and says, "What happened?" And Adam says, "The woman did it," right? The woman says, "The devil did it." And in chapter 3 of verse 15 of Genesis, we get the first prophecy, the first prediction of Jesus in Scripture. I'm going to put enmity, friction, right? Animosity, right? I'm going to put enmity between you, Satan, and this woman, between your offspring, Satan, and hers. And then everybody say he. He, now it's not just offspring, it's one, it's a guy. He is going to crush your head and you're going to strike his heel. The entirety of God's integrity is based on that promise being kept. Because when you threaten to kill someone and destroy them by crushing their head, you better be able to back that up. Yes or no? Right? And if you can't, your integrity is impugned. Right out of the gate, God said, here's the way this is going to happen. Some guy's coming, and he is going to destroy you. Hebrew writer said it this way. In chapter 2, Hebrews says this. Since the children, all of us, have flesh and blood, Jesus shared in their humanity so that by his death, listen to this, by his death, he might destroy, right? That Greek word is an incredibly powerful word. It means to utterly destroy, utterly wipe out, utterly remove from the playing field, right? That he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that's the devil, and free those all their lives who are held in slavery by the fear of death. How many of us are going to die? All of us. Scripture says this, that the devil holds the power of death. So when you and I, right, deal with death, we're dealing with something the devil has authority over. He holds the power of death. Why is that the case for all of us in Bunnell and Land Online here in Ormond? Because Romans says this, right? Romans 3 says this, what are we gonna conclude? Are we any better? Not at all. He says, we've already made the charge that Jews and everybody that's not a Jew, Gentiles alike, are all under sin. All campuses, read this with me. As it is written, there is one righteous, not even one. Listen, doesn't matter how good you think you are, right? Doesn't matter how much you think you might be perfect. Never really met anybody who thinks entirely they're perfect, right? That isn't a reality for most people, right? Most people know that we've talked about this. Listen, we've all known the right thing to do and not always done it. Amen? Right? We've all known the wrong thing to do and sometimes we still do it. Amen? Right? There's none righteous, right? There's none righteous. He says, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law is simply expression of God's holiness, so that every mouth is gonna be silenced and the whole world is gonna be held accountable to God, right? Therefore, no one, everybody say no one, no one, none of us, nobody in Bunnell, the Land Online, nobody across the globe is ever going to be right with God by observing all the rules. Never gonna happen, right? Rather, look at what the law does. The law makes us conscious of what? Makes us conscious of sin. Listen, I'm a good driver, right? I'm a really good driver, and the faster I drive, the better I am, right? You know, they always ask us questions of professionals, right? If you weren't a professional athlete, what would you do? Listen, if I wasn't a preacher, I'd be a race car driver, right? I would drive fast, right? Here's the problem with being a good driver when he drives fast. There's these stupid signs on the side of the road, right? They had these numbers on them, right? I generally figure it's like the number of people that are applauding as I drive by or that kind of thing, right? Apparently, that sign is the expression of the law, right? And the reality is this, that the more of those signs I come across as I drove the 7 minutes to the church today, right, I become aware of my sin. Anybody else? Right? This is a 9:30 crowd, probably not many sinners in here, right? Thank you for that, right? Like the reality is this, that the law in its appearance makes us guilty of sin. And the more aware we are of laws, right, the more guilty we become. That's the concept behind the law of God. The law of God is designed not to give you something to attain to try to be perfect in the eyes of God. Nuh-uh. The law's design, right, is to make us conscious of sin. The more we become aware of God's holiness, the more we become aware that we have very little. And he says this in conclusion in verse 23, right? All campuses, read it with me. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? The expression of God's glory expressed in his law reveals that we are all sinners, 100%. Here's the problem, right? The problem is what it says in Romans 6:23, right? Romans 6:23, because we all fall short, the wages of sin is death. Now, we already talked about this. Who holds the power of death? Everybody say Satan. Yes, it seems like that's a weird answer to the question, right? But Satan holds the power of death. So in God's expression of his holiness through his law, we become aware. Your children need to become aware. Our friends and our neighbors become aware. Guess what? We're sinners. And sinners die. That's the natural result of our sin, is death. Now you and I have a debt. And guess who's holding the paper on your debt? It's not Chase Bank. Right, it's not Wells Fargo. The owner of your paper that declares your debt owed to him is none other than the devil himself. All of a sudden, you and I got a problem. Amen? That's a problem. All because of the coming of God's law, we're now aware of our sin. Listen, that's the first step of receiving Jesus, right? Is becoming aware of our sins. And listen, I get it, it's complicated for some of us as parents, right? Right? It wasn't complicated for my generation, but it's complicated for parents who want to raise their kids to believe that they're great and they're awesome and they can do anything. I get the impetus, but if you want someone to know Jesus, they have to become conscious of their sin. Can I get an amen? That's something God can do, right? That's something his spirit can do. But here's the problem with sin. It makes us beholden to death. And death puts us in debt to the devil. And here's the problem. Until somebody pays off that debt, Satan owns us because it's appointed for man to die once and then face the judgment. That's a complication. Listen to what Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says. Romans 5:12 says this, right? Romans 5:12. Next verse, Romans 5:12. There we go. One more, bring it up. There it is. Therefore, right? Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death came through that sin, and in this way, death came to all men, all women, right? It came to all mankind because what? All sinned. Paul sums it up this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. At the end of the chapter, he writes this, when the perishable, that's you and I, right? The people who were destined to die because of sin, when that has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal, again, you and me, right, are clothed with immortality, then the saying that's written is going to come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? And where, O death, is that sting? He says the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Leave that verse up there. How many of you have ever been stung by a bee, a wasp, a hornet, anybody? Right? Listen, the reality is that the sting, right, from the wasp or the hornet or the bee, right, the sting, right, that comes from that, right, interaction is from the poison that's in the stinger, right? That's where it comes from. He says that the sting, right, that the poison behind our death is what? And how many sinners are in Bunnell, DeLand, Orman, and online? All of us. He says our sin is the poison that leads to death. And here's the thing, our poison, right? That sin that we have comes from the law. So the expression of God's holiness simply makes us guilty to the point that we now are gonna die. But then he says this in verse 57, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how does that happen? How do you, right, if you're in Bunnell, DeLand, if you're online, if you're in Orman and you know Jesus, let me hear you say amen, amen. Right? Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. How does that work? You're a sinner. You are beholden to death, which means you're beholden to the devil because sin entered the world through one man, death spread to all because all sin and all die. That's a problem. So how do we get the victory? Listen to what happens in Colossians 2, right? Colossians 2, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision, a metaphorical use of the word there, of your sinful nature or your heart, God made you alive with Christ. How? He forgave us all of our sins. So he wiped your debt, covered your debt, removed your debt. Here's how he did it. He canceled that written code, that debt, with all of its words, all of its infractions, right? And guess what he did? Those things were against you and they stood opposed to you, right? He took your piece of paper and he nailed it where? To the cross. Listen, you wanna know why across all of our campuses we celebrate the Lord's Supper? Because at the cross, your written debt that Satan held against you gets nailed to the cross where Jesus dies to pay that debt. Anybody in here grateful we celebrate the Lord's Supper? Let me hear you say amen, right? Yeah, listen, the cross of Christ is a magnificent place, right? The old hymn, right? The old rugged cross, right? I will ever be true. What an amazing testimony to the cross of Christ. Amen, church? Jesus took that debt. He nailed it to the cross, and look what happened. It disarmed all the powers of evil and all the authorities of that evil, and it makes a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Man, we should forever be grateful for the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Right? But let's think about this. You're smart people. This is a 9:30 crowd. You're probably the smartest group of people we own, right? Think about it. How many sinners we got across all campuses? All. The Bible says that because of sin, you're gonna what? You're gonna die. You're gonna die. Somebody decided to show up and pay your debt. Jesus decided, give me Cord's paper, right? Give me Randy's paper, right? Give me Bill's paper. Like, give me their debt. I'm gonna take them to Calvary. I'm gonna take them to Golgotha. I'm gonna nail them to this cross and I'm gonna triumph over this debt. Amen? And here's the thing. The only way Jesus could do it was to make sure that the sacrifice that he made in death was sufficient to cover it. But to do it, listen to me, church, Jesus had to what? Die. Come on, say it. Jesus had to what? He had to die. And who holds the power of death? Feel the tension? All of a sudden, the very act designed to set you free feels like it imprisons our Savior to the one who holds the power of death. Because the only reason Jesus has to die is because, according to Scripture, he who knew no sin became what? Sin on our behalf. And guess what happens to sin? It has to die. Do you feel the tension? You see, the reality is this. I love you. I don't know all of you, but I can say unashamedly, I love you. I love everybody in DeLand and Manel and online, but I'm gonna be honest with you. As I look across this room and just imagine what's on the other side of that camera lens, I'm gonna have a hard time dying for many of you, okay? Just shoot straight with you, right? Like, there might be one or two of you I would consider dying for, right? Most of you, I would say, I would think about it, right? But let's think about it. Listen, my son passed away when I was 22, and as I watched our baby boy suffer in those first few hours of his life, just fighting as a premature baby, a pound and 14 ounces, fighting to catch his breath and fighting to overcome an infection, all I wanted to do was take his place. All I wanted to do was take his place. And when our beautiful granddaughter Lila was diagnosed with leukemia, all I wanted to do was take her place and stand in her stead and let whatever she was going to deal with come to me. I wanted to know that I could take that from her. You and I, because we're sinners, have a Savior who said, I'll stand in their place, I'll take their punishment, and I will die for them. And I don't know about you, but I am grateful for that. Amen, church? But listen, if all the goodwill of Jesus of Nazareth does is leave him in the grave, then guess what won? Death won. And if death is the domain of Satan, then guess who won? Satan. And God's promise that I will use this man to crush your head is just a lie. It didn't happen. But listen to what it says in Acts chapter 2, and verses 22 through 24. Just skip those Hebrews passages, David. Acts chapter 2. Paul says this, men of Israel or men of Benel or men and women of Deland and men and women of Ormond, men and women of the world, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man who was accredited by God to you by miracles, right? He was shown to you with miracles and wonders and signs, right? Which he did among you through him, as you yourselves know, the gospel writers recount many of these. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose. This was all God's plan, right? God purposed and planned and had the foreknowledge, right, of this. And you, he says, you with the help of wicked men put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Leave that verse right there. Jesus died for you. I don't know who you are, where you're at, Benel, DeLand online, or here in Ormond, but you need to know this. There is someone who loves you enough to say of you, I will die for you. I will die for you. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, what your name is, what the color of your skin is. I do not care. There is someone who is willing, by the purpose and foreknowledge of God, to be strung up by wicked men and put to death on a cross for you. You might not think you're worthy, but God and his son certainly do. And then listen to what Scripture says. Very next verse, but God raised him from the dead and freed him from this agony, this labor, choose to describe the pain associated with childbirth, removed him, freed him from that kind of agony of death. Why? because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Listen, that cross of Jesus, it's one of the most powerful moments in all of human history. But if Jesus was just a good guy who chose to die for you, it wouldn't have worked because he'd still be dead and he'd still be beholden to the one who holds the power of death, and God's promise would be a lie. It wouldn't have worked. God had, everybody say had, God had to raise Jesus from the dead for any of this to work. Because if Satan gives Jesus his best shot, the left-right combination, and it knocks him out, and it kills him on a cross, and Jesus lays in that tomb and never rises from the dead, he just died a good man trying to show you how much he cared. But because he died and rose on that third day, death no longer has any power over sin, which means it has no power over sinners, which means it has no power over you. Somebody say amen. We celebrate the cross because Jesus died, but that cross is an empty promise if that tomb is not empty. The entirety of your faith, listen, your faith cannot be built on the cross of Jesus alone, because the cross signifies death, which is the result of sin. The tomb that's empty is why your faith has vitality, why it has hope, and why it has purpose, because death did not win. God raising Jesus won, which means we get to win through him. Amen, church? That's what we celebrate, right? That's what Paul proclaims as the good news. That's the gospel, is the death, the burial, and the what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we tell people. That's what Joe says over and over again is the mission of the church. The mission of the church is not to save a nation. It's not to save a gender. It's not to save a race. The mission of the church is to tell the good news of Jesus, that sinners who would die have a Savior who took it and is now alive. We, if we believe in him, can live forever. That's what we tell people, right? And we tell everyone. And we tell people all the time. Can somebody say amen? That's why we do what we do. So listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:20. He says this, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Anybody got anything to say about that? Anybody got anything to say about that? Yeah. But God indeed has raised Christ from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam, all are gonna die, so in Christ, all will be made alive, right? That's our hope in Jesus, because sinners whose debt's been paid, right, have a Savior who didn't just die out of love and kindness. We have a Savior who died and rose again. And he says this in verse 58 to all of us, right? Or he says this, the last enemy that he's gonna destroy is death. And then the promise to all of us, and the admonition to Bunnell and to DeLand and to Online and Norman, right? This is why we have a campus in DeLand. This is why we have started a campus in Bunnell, right? It's not to have your favorite person preaching, your favorite person leading worship, or your favorite kind of Bible read. This is why we have this. Therefore, my brothers, based on what? The fact that that empty tomb lives there. He says, you need to stand firm. Everybody say, stand firm, right? Some verses say immovable. Let nothing move you. Always, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Why? Because that empty tomb promises you that your labor, it's never gonna be in vain, right? That tomb promises that all that work done at Real Life Camp, it's not in vain. all that work done over the children's ministry, it's not done in vain. Those mission trips that you go on, they're not done in vain. Because guess what? The power of that empty tomb is the hope of the entire world. And if you possess it today because you know Jesus, but for you. If you don't, man, if you're in Bunnell, Kyle's there. If you're in DeLand, Pastor Aaron's there. If you're online, push that button, I have decided. If you're here in Ormond, man, we want to have that conversation with you. We're out there in Guidance Point to have that conversation with you as well. Listen, I know this. I am grateful that Jesus loved me enough to die for me. Amen. I am grateful that Jesus was willing to do that. I can't comprehend it. But I am more grateful that God kept his word and that that tomb is empty. Amen, church? Amen. So, Father, today we sit humbled. Humbled by the knowledge that our sin drove Jesus to have to die. That our sin drove Jesus to need to not just die, but to live such a perfect life in spite of the way people treated him, so that he could die the right way for us. And I have no concept of what it takes for a father to plan that for me, for all of us. But you did. And you kept your promise, more importantly. And you crushed the head of our enemy. And you destroyed him who holds the power of death, that's the devil. And you have freed forever those who have been held in bondage and slavery to the fear of death. And all of God's people say, amen.